Good to be with you here again tonight. Hope you had an enjoyable day, your trip there and the field trip. I told somebody I was forced to choose between being recreated and being responsible, and I had to take the hard choice. I would have really enjoyed to go along. One of these days I'll go see it. Turn with me for a message tonight to 2 Samuel chapter 6. And I'm going to read verses 14 to 23 of 2 Samuel chapter 6. And this was after a victory, and the ark was returning to the city of David. I'm just going to start right to break into the middle of the story there at verse 14 and read down to the end of the chapter. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with a shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well as to the women as to men, to everyone a cake of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. Then David returned to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovers himself." And David said unto Michal, "It was before the Lord which chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord. And I will yet be more vile than thus, and I will be base in mine own sight, and of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of, and of them shall I be had in honor." Therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children unto the day of her death. I've entitled the message tonight, "The Girl with the Acid Tongue." And an acid tongue it was. And as you read those words of hers, you can feel the heat of the interaction as she came out to talk to him. And then the intensity and the pointedness, you can feel her deep feelings. And you can tell that her emotions are fiddle string tight as she came to talk with him. And the construct of the words that she said, just a little bit of humor with no mirth. And the mockery is clear, and the disdain is impressive. And it is dripping with sarcasm, this address of hers to David. And her words were smooth as butter, but war was in her heart. And the response is equally forceful. And David is, "What is this?" And it was for the Lord. And he reminded her of his authority. And he sent her away. And I don't know what you think about that story, but for me, it's always kind of been a bit of an unsettling end to an unsettled story. And perhaps it seems to me that maybe it was a poor way to celebrate the return of the Ark of the Lord. Maybe that's why I have that feeling. Or perhaps the punishment seemed excessive for the rebuke that she gave to him. But how did it get to this? And what is the background to this exchange? I would like to consider tonight what led up to this encounter for the girl with the acid tongue. Because you see, the story doesn't begin here. This isn't the start. This is the end of the story. And if we'd go back to 1 Samuel 14, verse 9, we'd find that this girl is the youngest daughter of the King Saul. Excuse me, 14:49. Now the sons of Saul were Jonathan and Ishui and Malchishua, and the names of his two daughters was these. The name of the firstborn, Merab, and the name of the younger was Michal. The youngest daughter in the king's house. And these were the good days. The days before Goliath, when Saul was following God and Samuel was leading the people. And it's easy to imagine this little girl born there, the youngest daughter, daddy's girl, with these brothers, Jonathan and the others. Daddy's girl, a princess, Saul's daughter, the darling of the land. And it's easy to imagine that it was only the best for the princess. The people took care of her, and the city noticed when this little girl went by. The king's daughter. And she grew up daddy's girl in the house of the king. You know, as she grew, something changed with Saul. And there in that time of great crisis with Goliath, suddenly there was a new hero in the land. Not an old wise hero, but he was young and good looking. And he behaved himself wisely in the court of the king. And he was wildly popular. Popular to everyone except for Saul. And Saul, he tried to get his best to get rid of David, that hero. Never could make it work. And so there you get the picture of this young lady as she matured into a woman. And the hero David was there, a man of high character who behaved himself wisely. And he was victorious in his battles, and there was the rumors of his anointing. And he was the best friend of another admirable man, her brother Jonathan, who too was a man of high character, who too I'm sure she looked up to, as only a little sister can. So what could be more natural than what is recorded there in chapter 18? It says that she loved him. And she fell in love with David. And it takes very little imagination for me to see them interacting there in the court of the king, with her demeanor and her laughing eyes and her radiant smile. She tells him that he is the hero of her heart. And the people around her could plainly see what was happening between this couple. And they told David. They told Saul about what was happening with David. And Saul was pleased. Not because he liked David, but because in her love, he saw a way that he could control this man. A way that he could get rid of this man. And it says he set out to use this love as a way to destroy David. And right there I see the first in a series of betrayals of this young lady that I believe led to the girl with the acid tongue. And she became a pawn in the game that Saul was playing. A captive participant, involuntary included, because of her love. And he decided, Saul, I'm going to control this man by using the love of my daughter. And so he played his hand. And he made the requirements for the dowry. 100 lives of the Philistines. You bring him in here. And it was clear that he set out to kill David with the Philistines. But he didn't require enough. And David returned successful. And the wedding took place. And the newlyweds were the pride of the land, the princess, and the hero. David and Michael. But the trouble wasn't over, and the relationships were strained, and Saul was out to get him. But Michael was with David, the one that she loved, the one that she adored. And she took his side against her father's wishes. It's clear. And she followed his lead. And she was loyal to him. And she sacrificed for him. And she took great risks for him, if you read the story. And she helped him out of tight spots. And she covered for him. And she watched his back. And it seems that she poured everything she had into making sure that he was going to be all right. And when it came down to crunch time, it was she that helped him to escape. And now David was gone. And her father was angry. And why did you do this? And we read in chapter 24 or 25, verse 44, we read that Saul gave her away. And now she's the wife of somebody else. Some irrelevant person out on the sticks. Like a servant girl. Property, something you own. And I can imagine it was degrading to a girl of high character to be treated this way. A faithful woman who valued loyalty and sacrifice, and she loved him. And there she stayed for years. All through the wars of David and her father, all through that run, as David avoided his capture, there she was. And they knew where she was. And I can imagine that she watched the road. Maybe he'd come today. And she'd hear stories of that impressive guerrilla band of mighty men. And surely he'll come for me. And surely he'll find me soon. And maybe it'll be at night. And so she spent her time and made sure she was ready. But he never came. He never came. And to me, I find in that the biggest answer of all. To the girl with the acid tongue. David, why did you not go? Why did you not find her? Why did you not make the attempt? Why did you not reciprocate that love and loyalty? And what if her love was the same kind of a love that Jonathan had? Self-sacrificing. Deep. And loyal. And slowly the weeks went by. And the months and the years. And for Michael, somewhere the dreams died. And with it, her hope. And the prospect of redemption faded away. And I could see her turning to a hard, bitter, an angry girl of stone. And as the years went by, All those years of unreciprocated love. And he did not come for her. And he did not find her. I can only imagine how hard it was for her. And I'm sure she heard the news about the new ones. Abigail. Ahinoam. Pretty and wealthy. And expressly forbidden. Deuteronomy 17. And what of faithfulness and onlyness? And she was forced to drink the bitter poison of jealousy. And we don't hear more of Michael till the long war is over. Almost over. And Saul's general Abner was working out the details of the truce. And there it is on line number one of the truce. Bring me my property that I bought with the lives of 100 Philistines. And it was David. And so they brought her back. 2 Samuel 3:15. They brought her back. A woman worth loving. Her new husband followed her the whole way, weeping at the loss. When she got to down, he was met at the edge of the point of a sword. Abner, get out of here. Property. You know, and there's no more talk of love, no inkling of rekindled friendships, just a cog in the wheel of a busy life. Just the number of a room in the palace, just a few rooms down from Bathsheba. And from that room, in her loneliness, she watches the road for her David. And she cannot believe that her life is passing this way. And it is in wonder that as he comes by with his conduct that she cries out. And see, do you see now why I think that sometimes the answer is too simple? And she should behave. And she shouldn't talk like that to the king. Because I see perhaps that her cry is not so much of a censor of his behavior, but an epitaph on the tombstone of their friendship. So be merciful to the girl with the acid tongue. Because her war is a war of defense. And I see her as being backed into a corner. Cornered by the nobility of her character. Because it's only because of the noble things in her character that she would care this deeply. Her loyalty, her carefulness, her honesty, her commitment, and the depths of her love. And I see those words of hers as a defensive reaction to the situation she's been forced into. And no, it's not okay. No, you shouldn't talk that way. I'm not making any excuse for that. But is it any wonder, in light of that picture, that she's so tart? And perhaps that day all she really wanted to be was understood. And to share the message that it was really the people that she trusted and cared about that had betrayed her. And forced her to accept petty and foolish situations. And so I see in her a girl that we'll never trust again. And she died alone and rejected. And I believe deeply misunderstood. You know, and I really don't know why I felt led to share that message tonight of her. So many people don't understand each other. So many broken relationships. So many little girls that wish they could talk to their dad and wish he made sense in what he required. And maybe this is simply a warning of what can happen if we don't take care of our friendships. And maybe it's you. And maybe you too have been hurt deeply. And maybe you've responded the same way in anger. And you lash out. And you whet your words to a knife sharp edge and you cut them down and you give it everything you got. But probably for me, as I look at this story, I see in myself an example of what I so easily could become. I already struggle with trusting others. I'm already extremely careful in my friendships. And I chose a lady to marry because I knew she was loyal. And I knew what her answer was before I ever asked her. Because I made sure. And I can only picture my reaction to this kind of a treatment. If I was trying so hard and they used me so bad. And I'd play defense with my words. And you may have done it to me once, but you will never get an opportunity to do it again. I'll never let you that close. And I could smile and shake your hand, and my heart would be cold as stone. And it's so easy to try to fix the problem with authority. And I'm the king, and don't talk like that. And he sent her away. And her cheeks got red, and her heart got cold. And he won the battle, but he lost the war. And he missed it incredibly far. The cry of her heart. She turned on her heel and she walked away in the castle and up those stairs. And she pulled the blinds on the windows of her soul. Forever to be remembered as the girl with the acid tongue. Let's bow our heads for prayer.